We're studying the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 1, verse 6 this morning. And I'm going to read this morning Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 for our context. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I would encourage you to be well aware of is the words that are printed in italics in your Bible. They put them there to help us, and they often hinder us. And when we see the word called to be, the word to be, of course, is in italics. Really, the word called is an adjective. It's describing the condition or the state, particularly of Paul, and of those that are in Rome who are called, who are beloved, and who are saints. Those are adjectives describing to whom this book is written to. This book is not written to sinners that are on their way to hell. This is written to saints that are on their way to glory, on their way to ruling and reigning with Christ. There are warnings in here to the sinner, obviously, because we can slip into sin ourselves. But this morning I want us to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, "And among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ?" The word "the" is not in the text. It's been added, but it's not in italicized, in italics. But the reference to ye is a reference to Gentiles. One of the things that the book of Romans is teaching us, that at one time, as Gentiles, we were not included in God's scheme and plan for ruling and reigning from the heavens. Gentiles have always been able to be saved. A lot of people teach that when Jesus died on the cross, it made it possible for Gentiles to get saved. Well, that is just error, because Gentiles have always been able to be saved. Always. And a Gentile in the Old Testament had to embrace the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, just like the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had to do. They had to embrace the God of Abraham, the God of Noah. Noah wasn't a Jew, and Adam wasn't. But anyway, the point is this: the book of Romans is teaching us about what a blessing we as Gentiles now have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, "Ye" is a reference to the Gentiles. In Romans 1:5, it says, "For obedience to the faith among all Gentiles for his name." That's what the word "ye" is referring to. And the word "also" is included in this verse. The word "also" means that there was somebody else. Okay? "Also" means me and someone else. Well, who is the someone else? Well, it's in Romans 1:16. It's the Jew and also the Greek. It's the Jew first and also the Greek or the Gentile. Why was it to the Jew first? It was God's plan for him to come and to present the gospel of God, which is the gospel of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the heavens, offering the nation of Israel a heavenly inheritance. They had already been offered an earthly inheritance, and every one of them was well aware of it. And they, all of them are anticipating, at that time I'm sure, the resurrection of the nation of Israel from their graves, and that they would be brought into the land, and every man would have a fig tree, and God would provide everything for them, or the Lord would provide for them in their land, flowing with milk and honey. But the Lord had a different plan, and it had to do with a heavenly inheritance. So the Jew first. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, we see the commission that God gave to His disciples, His apostles. He says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the message of repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is not a message of the common salvation, but it is the message that is referred to in Hebrews 2 as the so great salvation. It's a salvation that has to do with an inheritance in the coming kingdom. One of the problems that Israel had was that they were not bearing fruit. They were not living by faith. Okay? They were not bearing the fruit required to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. So in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, the Lord said unto them, to their leaders, "Wherefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." If you expect to rule and reign in this coming kingdom, you've got to be a fruitful Christian. You've got to be a fruit-bearing child of God. If you don't bear any fruit, you're just a branch that's empty. And empty branches are cut off and burned. Whether it's literal or figurative, it doesn't really make that much difference. Is that I can associate being burned as something I don't like. So to be cut off and put on a pile over here is something that I don't want to do. And so therefore, I need to be a fruitful child of God. And bearing fruit is doing those things that please God. Not myself, but pleasing God. Now, he's talking about the fact that Gentiles are also called. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "For many are called, but few chosen." I'm persuaded that the many that are called are called unto His kingdom and glory. You see that in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you walk worthy of God, that's fruit bearing. Walking worthy of God is bearing fruit, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The calling is unto a heavenly inheritance that you will be able to enjoy glory and honor being a king or a lord. Kings and lords have honor. Okay? And I want to have honor and glory. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, many are called. A lot of people today are still teaching that the many are called, the calling is to get saved. And that creates conflict and contradiction to me. The very fact that Jesus Christ would not provide for a lost world to be saved is to fly in the face of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He tasted death for every man. And to try to justify and and harmonize the fact that many are called to get saved, it doesn't make sense. This calling is unto His kingdom and glory, and that is done after one is saved, not before. And we will touch on that verse in just a moment. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, we are called, or as a man of God, we are challenged to lay hold on life for the age whereunto we are called. The calling is for what? Well, eternal life. The problem is the way man has translated a word from the Greek that has created confusion. And that's the translation of the word age. What they did is that they didn't go to the Greek to translate that word. They went to a Latin translation to get a word out of it. And the word they got out of it was the Latin word for eternity or eternal. And that has caused a cloud or a veil to be put over it. Now, I think the Lord probably allowed that to happen because this message that we're talking about right now is still veiled. These are pearls. And you don't cast pearls before dogs or swine. Dogs and swine are unclean. The dogs and swine are not called. Okay? And, of course, now they are, but back then they weren't. We'll see that in just a minute. So, as a man of God, we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold on life for the age, that is, the millennial age, a life of honor and glory in the millennial age, whereunto thou art called. And this word lay hold is to seize. It's not a gift. It's something to grasp and to hold on to. Now, Gentiles have been called to His kingdom and glory now. In Acts chapter 15, verse 14, Simeon, that is Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. God is today taking out of the Gentiles a people for His name. He's taking out of saved Gentiles, just like He was taking out of saved Jews, a people that will enjoy a heavenly inheritance. And that first occurrence happened in Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now today, people emphasize the Holy Ghost and not the gift. To me, the Holy Ghost indwells me as well as He does you. I am more interested in the gift that the Holy Ghost reveals, is really what He is in the business of doing. And if you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, you see, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's the promise, singular in number. That's the gift. That is the gift. And what is that gift? Well, it's the promise. And the promise is defined in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. I like verses that define things. And this is the promise. Definite article before it, singular in number. That He hath promised us even age-lasting life. Life of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. Now, it's interesting how the Lord handled Gentiles during His ministry. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, she crieth after us." Can you imagine? Can you imagine calling out to the Lord and being ignored? Here's a man that can heal, that can raise the dead. And you got a need, your little girl at home is sick. And this man can take care of her. And you're calling out to him and he just keeps on walking. Sort of like a beggar on the street. I've walked past a few beggars in my day and ignored them. I've never been on the other side, so I can't tell you how it feels, but I'm sure if you're hungry and you have a need, you feel pretty lonely, and it's not a good feeling. But here is a woman having a need for a daughter. And he ignored her. And his disciples said, "Send her away. She's just pestering the dickens out of us." That's a rough translation. Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus Christ did not come to the Gentiles at this time. He came only to the Jews. Only to Israel. He didn't have anything for her at this time. "And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Isn't it interesting? If you want to worship the Lord, you know all you have to do is you just have to tell him, help. That's worship. You don't have to spend an hour singing. Just say, "The Lord, help me." That's worship. You know what? That's the kind of worship that God wants. That shows him that I'm depending on him for my needs. "But he answered and said, It is not fit," or meet, or fit, "to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Dogs were unclean. And they were called Gentile. I mean, she was a Gentile. She was called a dog. How would that make you feel to be called a dog? I mean, I know that some of you have pets and you enjoy those pets. But you know what? A dog was unclean. They didn't touch dogs. Because they were just like swine. They're unclean. So, anyway, by the way, there's no unclean animals today, so don't worry about touching or petting your dog, okay? Or your I don't want anybody to go home and cast out their dog. Anyway, so and she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." This woman was a knowledgeable woman. She says, "I understand that. I appreciate what you're telling me. But as a little dog, they do eat crumbs that fall from the children's plate." "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And you know what? He didn't go where the daughter was, and he didn't touch her. He didn't, there's no written record of him even touching this Canaanite woman. You know what would have happened if Jesus had touched this Canaanite woman? He would have been defiled. You know why? She's a Gentile. And Jews were not to touch Gentiles until they were part of the family, until they were in the family type thing. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In Matthew chapter 9, it's interesting here, "While he yet spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler Jairus of Mark chapter 5 verse 22 and worshiped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making noise, and he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, and when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid was made arose. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. This is a Jew. He went in and touched them and raised her from the dead. There was an incident about some blind fellows in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." It's interesting that blind men can follow as long as somebody leads them. In other words, here are two blind guys that are following the Lord, but they are being led by somebody that can see. Blind people don't follow. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then what did he do? Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Isn't that something? He commanded them not to tell anybody. And what did they do? But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. They were disobedient. And you know what? While they were blind, they allowed somebody to lead them and to follow Jesus. But when they got their sight, they quit following. This is a typical of the nation of Israel in that day. They weren't following the Lord. They were disobedient to his commandments too. Now, in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, it tells us about Gentiles and Peter. And he said unto them, that is Peter, "You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man, that is a Jew, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Jesus was talking about, hey, I don't belong here in your house, friend. I've been taught a long time ago that it's an unclean thing to do, to come down here and be in your house. Of course, I don't understand his logic, because he was in the house of a man who was a tanner. And you know, you can't be a tanner of hides. You got to touch dead bodies. And when you start touching dead bodies, you are what? Unclean. But anyway, Peter had his problems on his theology here and there from time to time. But let's go on. Gentiles were unclean. Isaiah 52:11 tells us, "Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean and bear the vessels of the Lord." We're to not to touch the unclean. And that's in Isaiah 52:11. In a moment we're going to read Isaiah 52:1. It defines the unclean. But so Peter came and he was talking to Gentiles, and he said, "Hey, you guys are unclean. So I'm showing you that to be a Gentile is to be unclean." Okay? Now, in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, it says that they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Here's a man. He gives his name. Bartimaeus. It's interesting that the word Timaeus means unclean. Possibly from the Hebrew word H2931. And if you look up that word in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find it has to do with touching swine, touching dogs, being unclean. It's ceremonially unclean is what it amounts to. And in Isaiah 52:1, it says, Jerusalem, the holy city, from henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Gentiles were unclean. The uncircumcised were Gentiles. Now, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This is a distinction between the two beggars that were sitting on the road and this one beggar sitting on the road. This beggar was a Gentile beggar. Now see how Jesus handled this Gentile beggar compared to that to the two Jewish beggars. Okay? And many charged him that he should not, or that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more and a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now here is a Gentile that's being called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, cheer up, arise, or get up. He calleth thee. And it's interesting they put it in here, and he casting away his garment. Wonder why they put that in there. He got rid of the old man. That's what I think of in terms. He wanted some new garments. He got rid of the old garments. And he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and what? Followed Jesus. See the contrast? Two Jews who were touched and healing, got their sight, went around blabbing stuff that God or the Lord told them not to blab or, you know, tell, and they didn't quit following. Here's a man who needed to have his, he could hear. In other words, the point here to me is this. Here is a Gentile who had ears to hear, but he didn't have eyes to see. And so therefore he came to the one who could give him eyes to see, so he could have both. In type and in picture, that has to do, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and we can rule and reign with Christ if we will produce the fruits thereof. Okay? So he followed Jesus in the way. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, Moses says, the Lord said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. This has to do with being chosen and called. The Lord says, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Now this isn't dealing with salvation. This is dealing with the calling. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we have a reference in verse 8 to the stone of stumbling. It says, A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In Matthew chapter 21, we see Israel stumbling at the stone of stumbling. Jesus said unto them, in verse 42 of Matthew 21, Did you not read in the Scriptures, The stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom shall be taken away from you and given to a nation, that is, Gentiles, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So when we finish, go to verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that Israel stumbled on the stone of stumbling. And when they stumbled and the kingdom was taken away from them, it was given to the Gentiles who would produce the fruits thereof. And we see that in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. And ye, that is Gentiles, verse 1 and 2, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or a purchased possession, or purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Gentiles were in darkness. Why? They were blind. They could hear, but they couldn't see. Seeing has to do with understanding. You see with your eyes and you understand with your heart. If you can't see, you can't understand. You can hear the message. Sounds pretty interesting. Like to know more about it. But if God doesn't pull the veil away, you can't see it. You can't get it. So these people were called out of what? Blindness. Darkness. Unto his marvelous light. What light was he called unto? We called unto the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is. Which in time past were not a people. That is, Gentiles were not a people. Jews were. The Jews were known as the people of God. But now, the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. When we obtain mercy, we can see. What did the blind man say? Lord, have mercy upon me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You know what? He had mercy on him and he could see. And if you can hear things and it sounds interesting to you, but you can't see them, you know what you can pray? Lord, have mercy on me and help me to see. Give me some sight to see. So what can we rejoice in? We can rejoice in the fact that this mystery that was been hidden from the ages and from the Gentiles at one time has now been revealed. I want to read in closing in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the blessing that we have as Gentiles today. We've always been able to be saved, but we were excluded from a heavenly home. And there were many Jews in his day that were excluded from a heavenly home. They were saved, they'd have an earthly home. There's going to be many Gentiles saved, but they will not have a heavenly home. They'll have an earthly home. Their inheritance will be here on the earth, even among the nation of Israel. But you know what we need to be encouraged to do? Produce the fruits thereof. Producing the fruits thereof is being pleasing to God. Please God. Father, I just pray that you would help us to appreciate the fact that you had mercy upon a Gentile blind man who could hear. He could hear the calling, but he couldn't understand it. And you opened his eyes and he followed you. We know, Lord, that you had to encourage Peter to follow you more than once. And we pray, Lord, you don't have to coerce us into following you, but that we be obedient and that we be faithful followers of you, so that one day will follow you right into a place of honor and glory in your coming kingdom. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.